Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Real Films. My name is Jason, and I have my reoccurring guest with me here today.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the season 2 finale of The Last of Us. Obviously, this hasn't been uploaded until like 3 weeks after the finale dropped. But yeah, we're in different areas right now, so we finally have the chance to record it. And I know the fan base right now, it's very, very mixed. So we're just going to dive a little deeper into this episode today. So the episode before the season finale was completely flashback. And the one before that, we saw Ellie basically torturing Nora. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much where we left off from that episode. And it starts off with Ellie. She goes back to the theater, right? That's where it started off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Ellie and Tina and Jesse are already there. And yeah, this episode was interesting. I don't even know where to start with this, dude. This episode was...
Okay. Well, it's too short.
It was too short. It was very short. If the people who are listening have played the game, yeah, they crank so many important things into this, 50-minute episode?
Yeah, it was like 49 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
With credits.
Yeah. So let's start with Ellie and Jesse. That was probably one of the most important plots at the beginning of this episode. And it was pretty much, Dina, she got shot with an arrow. And because of that, you know, Jesse had to like slowly take care of her and bandage her up. Mm-hmm. And during this point, like, he's like, trying to give her alcohol to like dull the pain. And she's like, no, I can't drink that. I need to stay alive. And at this point, like, she doesn't tell him that, you know, she's pregnant with this kid, but it's pretty obvious that Jesse knows.
Right.
And then this leads to, you know, Dina having to stay in the theater. And now Jesse is Ellie are going out to find Tommy, because Tommy's also somewhere in Seattle doing his thing.
Yeah.
So they're like going through Seattle right now, and they have this like important like conversation, which I really like, but it's also kind of funny because Jesse keeps saying this one line,
I mean, it's 3 weeks. It's past spoilers at this point.
Yeah. Well, he keeps saying that he can't die because, you know, he knows he's going to be a father and all that.
And like, it's like, he says it like 4 times. It's like, okay, like, we get it. Like, that's one big problem with this show. It's like, do you get it? Do you get it yet? And I'm like, dude, anybody who knows any lick of screenwriting or have seen like a bunch of movies knows that if somebody says they're not going to die, they're going to die.
Exactly. Period.
And I don't know about you, but like, I understand that these, like, Jesse and Ellie in the show are two different people, especially Ellie, which I guess we'll get to later. But their relationship to me here is so much different than it is in the game. I'm replaying through The Last of Us Part 2 right now. Yeah. And whew, like, day three for... here on day three on the show for Jesse and Ellie, it feels like Jesse just hates Ellie the whole time, or is like at the very least pissed off. And for me, that makes Jesse he's very stuck up in this show, and I kind of don't like how they took his character, especially since he dies kind of so quickly. And I feel like the characterization that they tried to give him just didn't end up to anything. It's just like, oop, he's dead, and then the episode ends like 3 seconds later, and you don't even get time to process what just happened.
Yeah, it's almost like in the game they're like really close friends, but in this show it almost feels like he's like her older brother in a way. But like,
yeah,
all like the bad qualities, like, oh, she's annoying me, she keeps doing this wrong. But you don't see any of like the genuine side of him. Not maybe like a little bit, like at the very end, but there's like no character progression when it goes
to
that moment.
So like, I like what you that you're saying, like, it feels like a sibling relationship, because it really does. I didn't even think about that. And they have this throwaway line in the first episode where it's like, oh, just because you're 2 years older than this, or he's like a few years older than them, so that makes sense. But like, and I can deal with that. I can deal with them changing it to be like, you know, Jesse is like the person that people look up to. He's older, he's more wise, blah, blah, blah. But like, here, just like, you're right. Like, the only time we see something genuine from him, it feels like it's not even earned. It's like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, you're so annoying, Ellie, blah, blah, blah. I came here, I'm not going to die. You just brought us here all to die. And then he's like, well, I know you would come and get me if I was in trouble. Like, what?
And this like leads into the like the moment like he like found them. It was pretty much like, yeah, we're gonna get Tommy, we're gonna get the hell out of here. While in the game, he was like, if you guys told me to come with you, I would have.
Right.
And this leads to a reveal, which I actually wasn't expecting them to do, was that during the council meeting of voting, the sending like 16 people to Seattle, he actually voted no.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's unpack that, actually. Let's unpack that. Because, okay. Jesse in the game would never do that, by the way. But let's just take this show's Jesse for what it is, okay? He voted no. And he told Ellie this at a moment where, first of all, he just kind of says it and he doesn't really like, it seems like he doesn't really care about like what Ellie thought about that. And second of all, it feels like he wouldn't even vote no because he said that he looked up to Joel and Dina has a relationship with Joel. And I'm sure Jesse does as well, even though we don't get to see it as much. And his excuse is, you know, we had to protect the community. You know, we have to take care of Jackson. And going after Joel would leave like Jackson vulnerable. And I feel like he only says that because Craig Mazin wants to beat us over the head with the fact that people defend their own. And if they aren't a part of their group, then it's basically fuck you. And it's like, there is so many more ways that you could have shown that. You actually do show that with the Seraphites and the WLF just going after each other for no reason at all, basically. And here he has Jesse take the center, like the mouthpiece of that theme and idea. And I'm like, you didn't even need that. You really didn't. And it kind of just makes you hate his character. Like, and the way that it's framed and Ellie's reaction to it, which I actually like, by the way, I think that was very well written, the way she kind of deconstructs his whole idea of, you know, us versus them, and him leaving that kid, which in the game, Jesse would never do. Oh my God. He would never do this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a whole nother character.
It is. And like, I remember there's like when they were in the hideout that the rendezvous point where like Tommy and Jess were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. There was like a conversation between Ellie and him, how like he actually like fell in love with this like one girl who like showed up to Jackson. And
we could have seen that.
Yeah, I feel like that could have been like a good flashback, honestly. This leads me to another problem with the show. They keep too many exposition, mm-hmm. this talking over like important moments, which I was like, you can like, if there was like a small like flashback snippet of it, I feel like that could have been so much better.
And it could have filled out their runtime, because why the hell is this? Okay, it would be one thing if every other episode the season was like an hour long and like, you know, bursting with content. But first of all, it's not. And we just had a flashback episode. And now they decide that we only need 49 minutes of a finale episode where we rush through everything. And it seems like they cut a bunch of stuff as well, because, you know, in the trailers, people have pointed out, you know, that shot with where Ellie's like shooting the AR, the assault rifle, is not in the show. They filmed, you know, and this is the controversial thing people were talking about. They filmed a scene where, you know, Ellie actually fights Owen and Mel, and something that kind of resembles the game a bit more. They cut that. And I'm like, sure, there's so much other stuff that's just on the cutting room floor. And I don't know why it isn't added into the show.
And especially since I felt like the first two episodes of season two, I thought they were paced really well. Like, they took their time with important scenes. And then after that, like episode 3 to episode 7, everything just felt so rushed. It's like, oh, we're going to hit this story beat of the game. We're going to hit this event and just go on to the next. And it's like, yeah.
Like, did you see that, guys? Fans of the game, did you see that? We did it. Okay, never mind. Moving on. Like, do you act? Sorry, like, you can go.
No, and then like going back to like what you said about like them cutting like certain scenes, especially like Ellie's like, you know, assault rifle scene, the scene where she's like fighting people. I don't know if you saw, there's like a behind the scenes like training video of Bella mm-hmm. Ramsey doing like this like really cool fight choreography. And after now this like season's over, I'm like, that never happened. There's not like a single moment in the game, I mean in the show, mm-hmm. where Ellie's like defending herself and like fighting against a bunch of dudes.
And here's my thing. And here's my biggest thing. I think my biggest complaint of this season overall. First of all, I don't think the entire season was shit. There, like you said, episode 1, 2, 6 are actually, I think, in my opinion, excellent episodes. And I know people don't like episode 3, but I do like that as well. Mm-hmm. But my main thing is Ellie is so sidelined and so not who she is in the game to a degree that I feel like it's on purpose for us to not like Ellie as much as we should compared to Abby, who just seems like the coolest girl that's ever, like, honestly, she seems more like the lead than Ellie does. And she just comes onto the show for like 30 seconds and just owns every scene. And we see all this stuff from behind the scenes where Bella Ramsey is training, and it looks freaking pretty cool, actually. And it's just rehearsal. It could have looked way better, like, in the actual product. And they've cut it, and they've cut Ellie's, her bite. Like, even in season one, she has like this snark, this like intelligence that they just pretended never existed in season two. And it makes me sad, because the Bella haters, the people who think Bella can't be Ellie or couldn't pull it off, they've won. And it's not because she's shown the full range of her abilities in the show. It's because the writers and the showrunners don't give her the moments that she needs.
I couldn't agree more. There's a term that I remember during one of the behind the camera like interviews where Craig Mason used this term. I forgot what it was. Was it incompetent?
Yes, incompetent.
Yeah, he called, Ellie, Abby is not incompetent like Ellie is. And I'm like, did we play the same game? Like,
did we? And I can see where he would want to highlight the more reckless, you know, elements of Ellie's character. In the game, she is reckless. Dina still, I didn't even notice this in the game, but like replaying it through, like with the show in hindsight, Dina still is like a planner. She is, you know, finding the locations of these different places that Ellie needs to go to chase the lead on Joel. We still could have had that, and she's still competent, because when she gets there, she fucks shit up. It doesn't mean that she had to have the whole plan in her head and she's just the best ever. That still could have been something that Dina is highlighted on, and we could have had that flesh out her character more. But why is Ellie, why does she get there and she just screws everything up like a bumbling idiot?
No, exactly. Like in the way that like Craig Mason said she was incompetent and like reckless, that should be in the aspect where like she's letting her emotions cloud her judgment. Right. Like, right. Her getting into these situations is, like, because of, like, fueled by revenge. But in the game, while she's in those, like, stupid situations that she probably shouldn't have been, she gets out of it. And
yeah.
In a badass fashion, if I say.
And she gets out of it in, a badass way. Mm-hmm. And Ellie's still, we can look back and look over the game and be like, Ellie did not need to do this. This is irresponsible, and she is way in over her head. Mm-hmm. And we could have had that same effect in the show without making Ellie basically defenseless. And I'm like, why train? And you know what gets me the most? If it would be one thing if we just had that behind the scenes, you know, training with Bella Ramsey, and we just never see that throughout the whole show. Like, okay, yeah. They maybe just cut that in pre-production. But in the first episode, as a point to the audience, the first time we see Ellie, she is training and fighting a grown ass man and takes him down, and she looks badass. And it's like, oh, this is meant to show us that Ellie has grown in the 4 years and she can take people down. She's a better fighter. And we just never see that.
Yeah, that teased or foreshadowed literally nothing.
It went nowhere. It went nowhere. She never even takes anybody down like she does with that guy. I'm just like, and they hint at her going overboard with the violence when, you know, she's not letting go. And Ellie's Jesse's like, stop. Where do we ever see that anywhere in the second season other than
like
nowhere. That?
I feel like she's killed like a total of three people while she was in Seattle.
And one was on accident.
Exactly. I'm like, where is this? I was like going through TikTok earlier today, and there was like moments in the game of like players playing as Ellie, and like they made like almost like a cinematic sequence, and you're just fucking people up. You're like in one of the yards, like killing like three dogs. Like
no, like, dog murder in the show, by the way.
Yeah, no dog murder, which, yeah, that will that's fine. We love no dogs. Get killed. But like, she's like, what's the word? She has such a good battle, like fighting IQ in the game. Like, sure, you can make the excuse of like, yeah, but we're the players playing it, so like if we're saying Ellie's good, we're good. But most of the time Ellie is good. Even in the cutscenes, you can see
she's
how she fights. So it's like, why didn't they bring any of that into the show? Especially when it felt like they were trying to do something like that with like the first episode where she's like training, or you see the behind the scenes where she's actually doing these like amazing fight choreography. Even in season one, when she was captured by the cannibalist, she had some very cool moments in that.
It's literally like it's a different. Everybody got transported into this alternate reality, and season one happened, but it didn't happen the way we thought it did, apparently, because it's just nothing nothing carries over. And I've had these conversations with my sister and other people where it's like, this show compared to the game is like a walk in the park with sunshine and rainbows. Like, mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that necessarily that I wanted this show to be like torture porn and depressing every episode. It's still depressing, but like Ellie should have killed more than 10 people. It doesn't mean she has to kill 1,000 people, but the whole point in the story is that, and the whole point of Future Days and Joel singing that song to her and that being like a central focus of this story as a whole, by the way, I have something to say about that in a sec. Uh-huh. The main message is without Joel, Ellie doesn't know who she is anymore, and she starts to lose herself through the acts of violence in pursuit of revenge for him. Mm-hmm. And here we see her go on her revenge journey, but she has none of the elements that would make it worthwhile, because if everything were to happen the way it does in the game, and we get to the end of, you know, season 3 or 4, God help us all, if we get to the end of season 4 and there's this whole wrap up about like, oh, Ellie lost herself, you know, did she?
Yeah.
Did she? And it's like, in a way, they wanted the audience to like her so much. They didn't want her, like us, to think bad about her at all. They just kind of just disappeared her character in that way. Like, it's okay for people to hate Ellie. We're supposed to question her actions throughout the entirety of the second game.
It's weird because, like, now looking on social media, like, people are liking Abby more, which is like...
Oh, my God. Yeah. And, like, honestly, so as someone, if they haven't played the games and they... Even if they have played the games, I don't blame them, because Caitlin Dever, it's like Craig Mazin just loves Caitlin Dever so much because she gets all the cool stuff. Yeah. They got rid of all of Ellie's cool action scenes, all of her coolest moments, and they'll never get to do it again, by the way, which pisses me off. This is it. This is our season 2. This is Ellie's story. This is all we get. And you hear about the next season where it's like, yeah, we're doing bigger and better. We're getting all of Abby's, you know, biggest moments in there. I'm like, that defeats the whole purpose of the story.
Yeah. Like, it's sad because I feel like Bella really didn't get an opportunity to shine as Ellie. And I don't think we're ever going to see that now. Which is...
And I'm so confused because, like, I'm going through the game, I've seen how Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann and, you know, everybody involved have like recreated the show to like go through the biggest moments of the game, but also, you know, cut out all the side content that's not really needed. And they honestly do that pretty well until they skip over all the action sequences because they don't think it's important to Ellie's character at all for some reason.
Yeah. I remember like the biggest criticism with like season 1 was like, oh, there wasn't enough infected. They listened and they gave us more infected. Because of that, they took away these like really like emotional like battle scenes that could have happened with amazing like fight choreography and like, you know, really showing like Ellie's like potential and like how much he's grown as like, you know, this little kid, like this young adult. Like, she could handle herself in Seattle. There was never a moment in this season where I was like, all right, we're gonna throw Ellie into like this like, warehouse, something like that, with like a bunch of infected and like wolves. Yeah, she ain't getting out of that. This version of Ellie, no, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what they were trying to do here, but like,
you know, when... you know, yeah, at multiple points in the game, Ellie is by herself. In this show, I would not leave Belly. Sorry, I said Belly. I would not leave Ellie alone at all because she would die.
She would. I don't know how, when she broke off with Jesse and Dina, how did she not
die? How'd she get back? Yeah. How'd she get back? She kind of has this moment where she's like sneaking in the grass and she's like, oh, she's using these, you know, stealth these stealthy moves that we've never seen before. Is she about to do something cool? Nope, we just never see that again.
Leading on to that, oh my gosh, the 3-minute side adventure thing. And she's on the way to the aquarium. First off, that was supposed to be an Abby scene from the game. They gave it to Ellie. And, you know, at first I was like, wait a second, this could be like a really cool sequence, you know? They have her like tied to a noose. There's no way she could like escape this unless she does something like super cool.
Yeah.
With like this being captured by the scars on the island. And then they hear sirens and just let her go. I was like, what was the point of this?
Yeah, let's dig deeper into that, actually, because, you know, a bit of the reasoning of why that's in there is, one, to show that Ellie just went through this, like, you know, crazy ordeal where she's just kidnapped by these random cultists and is hung and is about to get cut up. And instead of reckoning with the fact that, like, oh, I'm in over my head, I'm in danger, she gets in the boat and still goes to her destination without any second thought. And I can see that, right? Mm-hmm. But like, we're going to get this exact same scene with Abby in season 3. And you know why? Because she has the rope marks on her neck in the last scene.
She did. Yeah.
And you know how Abby gets out of that by doing, first of all, I guess Lev saves her a little bit, but like she like has this badass sequence where she gets up with her hammer. That's her iconic hammer. And she starts just going to town in the middle of the woods. Now, if we get that compared to what we got here, it's just obviously blatant favoritism of Abby in the show. Because like Ellie can't handle herself, but Abby can in the situation.
Looking back on it, I feel like the only reasoning they would include that scene was like, remember when it was Jesse and Ellie and they saw like a bunch of wolves like taking down like a Scar and it was a child. Yeah. And Ellie's like, oh, we have to save him. Jesse's like, no. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, it's a kid. And then the person who like gets her captured was a Scar child.
Yeah.
And then was pretty much like, yeah, kill her. And stuff like that. I feel like that was like the only reason they would put that. But even then, it was so out of the way. It was like 3 minutes long. And then she was like right back on her like journey. I feel like it could have, like what you said, just done this again with Abby's perspective to at least tell the audience and be like, yeah, everyone is a killer in this war, including children.
Yeah, I like what you brought up about the kid and, you know, the kid, you know, snitching on her basically is like, you know, killer. And I can see that as well. There's just not enough time. Like you said, exactly. It just moves on so fast. Mm-hmm. And we're hurtling towards this destination. And you know what? I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I could have. If we're hurtling towards this destination at breakneck speeds, everything is just rushed. And we get to the final confrontation and it's like the best thing ever. Like Ellie has this moment where she fights with Owen and Mel. She kills them on purpose. That is the point of this entire scene. And then we see the horror of her finding out that Mel is pregnant. But no, we get to the end of this entire confrontation or this entire episode where it's leading up to, where it's hurling towards. And it's just like a sad, literally a sad whimper because Ellie cries over accidentally killing Mel. It's like, we did all of this running just to get here.
Yeah, the whole point that Ellie felt like, you know, the guilt was that she purposely shot Owen and Mel.
Yeah. She stabbed Mel in the neck, I think, actually.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, you accidentally shot her in the show and then you feel remorse. I did like that little scene where Mel is like walking her through to like saving her baby.
Yeah.
I thought that little moment was like a good like added thing. But yeah, like she accidentally shot her. Like it would have been a little different if she was like, oh, she just like shoots both of them. Even then, it's still kind of boring. Like you said, she literally like stabs him in the neck with a knife. Like,
and kudos, actually, I will give them that. Kudos to the writing in that scene because I actually had chills. It pulled me out of my like, what the hell is going on in this episode? Like mindset, and I was like, wait, I'm actually invested in what's happening right now. And then I think to what else has happened up to this moment and what happens after. I'm like, we still could have had Ellie do all that shit and Mel could have just been alive and was like, oh, I'm pregnant. And we could have had the exact same scene and kept like the emotional integrity of it.
Yeah, no, completely agree.
Okay, something positive I will say about this entire show, because I feel like I'm just hating on it. I don't hate the show. I'm just like a disappointed dad at this point. The production design, the acting, everything else besides the writing is on point for the entire 7 episodes. It just sucks that it's let down by the writing.
And I think the one thing that really sucks, and this is a lot of people that had justification for like stop playing the game, was when Joel died. Mm-hmm. And now for the show, all the best episodes we said from this season included Pedro Pascal's Joel. So now it's making like the argument where like, oh, I stopped watching because Pedro or Joel's gone. And like now the people who are like saying like, oh, the show sucks because, you know, Pedro Pascal's Joel's gone. And it's like, well, it's hard to like say they were wrong because the best episodes of this season.
Half a minute.
Yeah. So it's like.
And I've seen
I have nothing to defend myself now. Like, I can't say anything. I'm sorry.
Exactly. I've seen people like be like, maybe he shouldn't have died. And in my head, I'm like, oh, brother, that's literally in the entire point of the story. Without him dying, there is no story. But like, you're right. And then think about it. I'm like, maybe honestly, if they were going to give the best episodes to Joel, like for him being like in those episodes, maybe he shouldn't have died. Maybe something else should have happened. At this point, maybe we should have gone chronologically from them getting to Jackson and had in the last episode him dying from Abby and have season 3 be it like, you know, the whole Seattle story. Because at this point, what they have, their biggest sin is that, you know, when Joel dies in the games, Ellie takes over as the lead with all the main character energy that she needs to get the job done. In this show, when Joel dies, Ellie's supposed to replace him. but they don't give her enough to be that girl that people will come back to watch the show for. Because she's not. I'm like, at this point, like, I have my The Last of Us tattoo, Ellie's tattoo. I am like, all these people who don't play video games have seen this show, and if they come up to me, they're like, oh, you have that tattoo from, is that from Ellie in the show? Nah, no, that is not, that's not how I got this tattoo for. Actually, go look at the video games, because it's two different characters.
Yeah, it's weird, because at least for me, I feel like they kind of nerfed Joel in from like the game to the show.
They did.
But the show's Joel still had that oomph, you know? Like, he had aura. Like, it's...
He did.
Like, he had so many, like, moments where, like, yeah, he stole the scene. He had, like maybe not great, like, action sequence, apart from, like, the very last episode.
Yeah.
But, like, he had these, like, really, like, it showed how smart he was, like, in this, like, dystopian world now, like, apocalyptic world. But now, like, Ellie, it's, like, she's being saved left and right. It feels like Dino's doing all the heavy lifting. She didn't kill anyone. She killed, like, three people in one accident. It's, like, who is this, like, super, like, you know, emotionally damaged, but yet still very intelligent when it comes to, you know, surviving this world? That survival instinct is thrown out the window. Like, I'm sorry, but Ellie in this show is so stupid.
She is, and they make her intentionally stupid. And maybe I'm reaching, but to me, it reeks of a bit of misogyny, because in this show, it's shown that women, and the Ellie and Dina, can't save themselves because they're so stupid and they're lesbians and they're in love and, you know, they're too focused on the lovey-dovey stuff, and around them, like, the world is, like, the world is basically crumbling around them. Seattle's a hellhole, and they're on this, like, cutesy, ditzy mission where they're just, like, la-la love eyes to each other. And then Jesse comes in, big, strong man with the AR, and saves them, and basically is the only reason that they live. I'm like, like, in the game, Ellie and Dina can handle themselves fully, and they still have that, you know, what do they call it, the honeymoon period in the relationship. On the first day, Seattle day one, they're still kind of lighthearted, but they can still take care of themselves. It's like two different versions of female characters.
The thing is, I would normally agree with that statement, but the showrunners for this season were the same as last season. And I'm going back to the when Ellie was held hostage with the cannibals. She was completely locked up and got out of there.
Yeah, and that's my, like, that's my issue.
Yeah, like, Ellie, we've seen Ellie be like this at a younger age in the first season. So it's like, there's supposed to be some growth to this. I'm sorry, I don't remember Ellie actually being dumb at all in season one. There was, like, no moment. Like, she was still smart and woody. Like, witty to an extent. So I'm like, how did she get super dumb? Like, she's been with Joel for this long and she's learned so much from him and Tommy. So it's like, where did that go?
Dude, have you seen those clips of from season one where there's multiple moments where the show literally beats you over the head with the fact that Ellie is smart but ain't over her head? We have that scene in the flashback where, you know, in Left Behind, where she's talking to the federal officer and he's like, you could lead this place one day. You were so smart that you're stupid. Stupid. That's what he says. Uh-huh. Multiple times in the first and second episode, it's shown that Ellie can manipulate people to get information. She manipulates Joel to find out what the radio means. She outsmarts David. And then we get to season two. And you're right. She's older. She's trained more. She's been with Joel this whole time. And she's lost all that knowledge.
Yeah.
And you know what? This show feels like two different shows. Talk about a shift from season one. In this show, it feels like there's a rift between the episodes. In episode one and two, they actually make Ellie unlikable. They have her yell at Joel. They have her basically embarrass him in front of the whole town square. We have her fighting. We have awesome action sequences where the tone is, like, you know, edgy for your seat. Episode two, I remember sitting there after the episode was over and it was just silence. And then we get to episode three. Actually, I'll say it's episode four. And the tone entirely changes.
It does. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
I'm so sad, man. I have no joy in, like, basically just going off on this show. But, like, for when it, stepping back, if I had never played the games, and a lot of people haven't who's watched the show, I could say this is a good show because I don't know how good it could have been.
Yeah.
But now the fact that I know how good it could have been, I just can't let it go.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see perspectives of people who haven't played the game that watch the show and see how it was. Because I remember, like, after season one, like, I know people who have never played the game and they're like, oh, this is a really good show. And then someone who has played the game was like, this is a really good adaptation. So because of that, I could never see how disappointed I was for season two. There was no moment in season one with the showrunners, directors, and writers where I was like, oh, they're going to like fumble it like this bad. Like, obviously, the second game definitely had a lot of mixed reactions, but it was never that, oh, the game was bad. It was more so, I hate that this happened.
Right. You know? Yeah. Because on it, like, objectively, the second game is not bad. I'm playing through, and it's actually the production value, the acting, the writing, the mechanics. That is a video game. That is a video game, capital video game right there. And here, this should be a show that is worthy of the Sunday night spot that HBO has. It should be like a Game of Thrones, maybe not Game of Thrones level, but it should be like required television for anybody who likes HBO, The Last of Us zombie movies, anything like that. It should be like episode 1 and 2 for the entire season, where people are like talking about it in good ways, and like it's like basically the best thing you've ever seen, and then instead we get whatever the hell this is.
Yeah,
and you don't have to tune in for the show.
And it was like so disappointing that people who like didn't like part two are like defending it now. They're like I wasn't the biggest fan of part two, but after like replaying it, I'm like, what was this? What was this season? It was like, yeah, they fumbled this so bad. And there's like no
utterly going
back. Like, especially there isn't the whole character of Ellie, like that's it.
Like, imagine if they're like, oh shit, we fucked up, which basically actually in an interview Craig said that, who was like, yeah, we fucked it up. That's, he literally said that about the season. Not great. But like, imagine in the next,
are you serious?
Yeah, he's talking about how they set expectations too high for season one, and with season two they didn't live up to that bar, and basically they fucked up. That's basically the gist of what he said. And if they pull a 180, I think he got lost in his own sauce. And Neil Druckmann and, you know, Haley Gross were as involved in the season as they should have been. Mm-hmm. But imagine in season three, if they just entirely switch around, if we even see her, switch around Ellie's character to where like she's just automatically, somehow she became competent. She became the character that she should have been. It just wouldn't work. They have to continue with this version of Ellie, or it just doesn't work.
No, I completely agree. I feel like if, let's say for like season three, it's already confirmed now.
Yeah.
For like, it's going to be Abby's perspective of Seattle days 1 through 3.
Mistake.
What mistakes from this season do you think they can like try to make better and that they couldn't repeat for next season? Even though there's no Ellie, I feel like most of the mistakes were because of how they wrote Ellie in this season. But like, yeah, how could they do it differently for next season for Abby's part?
That's a great question. They're already commending, I think, the biggest sin for my end is as in the season three being just Abby. That is a huge mistake that I think they'll come to regret, because who's going to come back to the show for somebody that they don't know who showed up for 30 seconds and then the whole season is going to be about them? But, yeah. You know, besides that, I will say for season three, because everything else besides the writing was good about season two, keep everything else besides the writing. And for the writing, Abby needs to be the leader of her own story. She needs to push the story forward. She needs to be somebody that you want to watch on television. And she needs to have like the nuance to where we don't always think she's good all the time. She's kind of a shitty person. She says this multiple times in the game. And I need that duality for Abby. She doesn't need to be perfect. And I think that will help people connect with Abby in season three. Because if they just keep, I like Abby's story, you know, she with Lev and Yara needs to be in the show more than she was in the game. I think another mistake that they can fix is they try to, with Jesse, you know, and Tommy, they try to give side characters something more to chew on, like for us, to support their characters as like fully grown people. Yeah. But they always tell us, instead of showing us, in season three, they need to show us who Lev, Yara, you know, Manny, the whole Seattle crew, this LA crew, I mean, who they are, instead of telling us. That's my big things.
Like, there was a moment in the finale where it kind of talked about how Isaac was, how much he admires Abby. Mm-hmm. And like, there was like a joke where like, are you in love with her or something? It's like, no, I feel like she's going to be the one to like lead these people if I'm dead.
Yeah. She used to live up to that.
Yeah, I feel like there should also be like a little relationship there, like almost like a mentorship thing. And it kind of shows like, oh, like he's going one way, she's going the other way or something like that. But like, we need these moments that really show like Abby's a badass. We can't forget that. Like, they forgot Ellie was a badass
for this season. Just, you know, just forgot.
But then if they make Abby too much of a badass, it's like there's a specific scene which we both know, which I'm not going to say. I'm like, I don't know how that's going to play out at all.
Dude, I was just going to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, you need to make Abby cool as hell for this show to work and for The Last of Us not to be like filth on the people's tongues, like in common people's, like, you know, daily conversations. Mm-hmm. Abby needs to be cool, but I'm scared because, like you said, we're going to be rooting for Abby once it gets to that point. Like, not me, but like people in general. And like, that shouldn't be how it is. You know, and also the fact that, you know, people don't think, I mean, you know, Bella Ramsey has been hated on for her you know, levels of attractiveness, and Caitlin Dever is conventionally attractive, and something as simple as that is gonna make people just like her even more, even if she's a shitty character. Honestly,
because in the game it was kind of the opposite in a way.
Abby is like, not conventionally, she's huge. Jason, they should have cut their muscles. If I've defended that, you know, in the past, I can't defend it anymore. Abby should have muscles. Apparently, that's essential.
I was looking into it. Apparently what happened was during like filming and training, apparently her mom passed away. Like Caitlin Dever's like mom.
Yeah, she did.
So I think that got in the way of training. Like apparently like, she was going to go that route and be like, yeah, I'm going to try to like bulk up, you know?
I see.
But that didn't happen. And it sucks now because it's like, oh, maybe she can like bulk up like now. But like we've already seen her. Scene. Yeah. If that last scene wasn't there, maybe that could have worked out, because now there's like a 3-month time jump. Like that could have worked, but now it's like, no, we know what she's gonna look like at that last week.
I mean, she has a jacket on. She has a pretty good jacket on.
True. I guess you're right. Maybe that was like a smart way. If she did have a jacket, maybe they could do something with that now. Now that I think about it.
It would look what they should have done. And Caitlin Dever is so good, and the fact that we don't see her for basically like 5 episodes up to the, you know, finale, and she comes on screen, immediately demands your attention, and you're like, shit, we need to be scared of her. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, fine and dandy, I guess. Wait, sorry, I don't even know where I was going with that. I'm gonna be so real. What were we talking about before I started speaking?
Oh, we were talking about Abby not being jacked in the show.
Forget it. I don't know what I was gonna say. Yeah. I was gonna cook.
No, that I guess that might be a good way to end it off. I feel like we're just gonna be going on a rant.
Yeah, I'm ranting. That's why I'm like, it's
if you were to give this show a rating out of 10 this season, what would you give?
From the bottom of my heart, and I'm so sad to say this, I would give it a 5.
Whoa, that's lower than me. I was gonna give it a 7 out of 10.
7 from you?
Yeah,
my brain
is kind of all over the place in that sense, because they still had episode 1, 2, and 6 were really good episodes. And like the production of the show was like still good and watchable. You know, if I give something a 5, it's like a fail. I wouldn't say it's a fail; more of a disappointment. If episodes 1, 2, and 6 were not as good, then I probably would have given it like a 5.
But, you know, in my head, on the scale from 1 to 10, 5 is average, and 10 is like amazing, and 1 is shit. So in that regard, I actually give it a 6, because I really did like episode 6. I really did like episode 1 and 2. Like episode 6 is like one of the best episodes of TV this year. And we had Andor, so that's saying something.
Yeah.
So that props it up a point for me, honestly. But 6, it's 6.
Yeah, I give it a 7. For me, 7 is average. So
I see.
It's like the Asian mentality, you know, but... But yeah, I think 7. I gave like season 1 like a 9 or a 9.5. I think it was a 9 out of 10, which I gave season 1. Which
mine's like 9.
Yeah, so in that sense, I think 7 is deserved.
There's
only one thing I'm hoping for next season.
And what's that?
I need that Tommy episode like so bad.
Oh yeah. Oh, we can't even talk about that. We're about to be over, but like they've kind of forgot about Tommy in the season as well. They hyped him up and they never get him anything.
Yeah. So hopefully they listen to fans on that sense and like, okay, we can't just have Abby for the entire season. We need some other characters.
True. That'd be a good way to have
Tommy perspective for like one episode or something like that. I think fans will eat that up. I will.
Yeah, she does encounter Tommy.
She fights off him.
And, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So yeah, I give it a 7. You give it a 6. But overall, I thought season 2 was a big step down from season 1 of the show.
Absolutely.
And then I thought it was an even bigger step down from the game. But I think everyone's agreeing like part two is on a masterpiece of game compared to the show. I think
it really is
in unison. But yeah, I'm still gonna watch season 3 regardless, because now I need to know if they make an improvement, but
if it's like a 9 out of 10 season 3, the show can be saved.
Yeah, I 100% agree in that sense. And it sucks because people were getting so hyped for season 2 because it came out a week after like White Lotus season 3.
Yeah.
Like, they were doing every episode of White Lotus. And there's like edits of like, oh, the vacation's over. We're going to get a zombie apocalypse now. But now it's like, wow, that was like a couple weeks now. And it's like this. Yeah, it was very such a letdown.
They left the entire meal on that plate. They didn't. They did. They yeah. nibbled.
And that's there's no it. Way they can fix it. In my opinion, I don't think there's any way they can fix this.
Season 2 remastered. I know that remake, can't happen.
Remake.
Yeah, remake. I agree.
Yeah, I'm like Joe. But yeah, that was today's episode of Real Films for The Last of Us season 2 finale. We would love to hear your thoughts in the comments. But yeah, this is Jason.
This is Ronnie. This is the last time I'll be on here, I guess.
This is the last time I'll be on here as a host. I wonder who they will replace me with. So yeah, thanks for listening.